If you have a Bible with you and you'd like to follow along, you can turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. This morning I'm going to be speaking on the theme, do you really want to grow? Do you really want to grow? And of course I'm talking about spiritually. And there's probably a tendency right away to think, well, of course I really want to grow. But before we answer that automatically without giving it a lot of thought, let's just take a step back and consider the question for a moment along with a few related questions. And I want you to think beyond the surface here and first answer this question, are you growing? Think about that. Currently, are you in a mode where you are growing spiritually? Are you growing? If you're not growing, why not? If you're not growing, what would it take for you to grow? And do you want to grow? Do you want to grow badly enough to do whatever it takes to grow? With summer vacations over, Labor Day weekend over, school back up and running, fall is a great time to tighten up some areas in our life that maybe over the summer just sort of got a little bit loose. And maybe in terms of spiritual growth, you've kind of been coasting through the summer season, and now's a great time to decide, you know, I'm going to kind of tighten some things up in my life, and I'm going to get back on track spiritually. And maybe there's a few of you who you've been like, man, I've been tracking all summer with God. I've been growing and I'm at a great place in my life. So if you're there, wonderful. Let me say that I'm probably not going to tell you a whole lot today you don't already know. There might be a few things I share that might be new or maybe will give you a different way to look at something. But overall, I'm not probably going to share a whole lot new because bottom line is, every one of us here probably know what we need to do to grow. I mean, if I just asked you, what would you need to grow more spiritually, you could probably all give me some pretty good answers. So while we will review that, what most of us need is not really to know more, but to do what we already know. For example, if I said to you, what do you need to do to get in better shape physically, to have better health? All of you would have answers. Now, you may not know the most efficient ways, but all of you would know, well, okay, if I want to get healthier, I gotta eat better. And we all know how to eat better. We may not know the exact best way, but we know what better means. We all know that, okay, it takes exercise, maybe more exercise. We may not know the exact most efficient way, but we all know basically we need to do more. And we know that, okay, we need adequate rest. And so the point is we all know probably more than we're walking out. So rather than giving you a bunch of stuff you probably don't know, expect instead for me to review what you do know. And my hope today is mostly that you will be motivated to do what you know to do. We have a couple of opportunities at Jubilee for you to nurture your spiritual growth. One of them is the conference. Often when people carve some time out and come to a conference, rather than it being like one service like we have on Sunday mornings, there's multiple services, two or three days in a row. And sometimes just that getting in that kind of an environment where there's that expectation and gifted speakers and worship and so forth. Often in that kind of a context, God does some amazing things in our lives. But no matter how wonderful this conference will be, if you're not here, it won't do you any good. We have coming up 40 days of prayer. Again, 2 weeks from today, we launch it, and it'll go actually a little more than 40 days. I'll tell you more about it as the message goes, but this is a wonderful opportunity for you to decide, I'm gonna give myself to this thing. I'm really gonna take that 40 days and I'm gonna press in to God more than I perhaps normally will. Now, why talk about spiritual growth? Well, first of all, it is God's will. God's will is not that you and I just sort of keep coasting the rest of our lives, staying about the same. God's will is that every one of us continue to grow spiritually. Secondly, our world desperately needs growing Christians. We are not going to impact our world if we're mostly just maintaining and being stagnant. If we stay immature, we're probably not going to have that great of an impact on our community and on our world. And so we need to grow so that we can have a greater impact on our community and on our world. Also, from a personal standpoint, you need to grow for you and for your loved ones. Now, we all have different challenges, different problems, and certainly there's a few things we all face that are out of our control, but often the problems you and I have, we have because of spiritual immaturity. Sometimes you and I make decisions based on our emotions. We make decisions based on what I want, rather than taking those decisions to God and to His Word and say, okay, God, what does Your Word say about this? God, what is Your will here? I know what I want. I know what my emotions are telling me, but God, I submit all of that to You. If we made our decisions by seeking God and His Word and yielding our will to Him, there's certain things we're dealing with now that we wouldn't deal with because life simply goes better when we're living a life submitted to God. Well, let's go to Ephesians 4. We're going to begin at verse 11, but before we go there, I'm going to jump right in the middle of it, verses 15 and 16. It says, grow up in all things. That's God's will for every one of us, that we grow up in all things. And if we're each growing up in all things personally, then what happens when we come together is that causes growth of the body. So God wants every one of us to be growing. He wants us as a church to be growing. Now let's take a step back and ask ourselves the question, what does that look like? So in our text, we're going to look at seven evidences of spiritual maturity. So let's jump in. Number one, we'll go to verse 11 first and read these verses. It says, and He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So God gave these five office giftings, some refer to them as, to the church. But why? Did He give them so that we could sit back and take in their giftings, their ministry, or why did He give those? What does that have to do with each one of us? Well, let's keep reading. He says, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect or mature whole man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, God gave these offices to the church really for two reasons. One is to bring all of the believers to full maturity, and the other is to equip all of the believers to be able to serve. Now, one of the things I want you to notice is that the way God set this thing up, we can't grow alone. Now, there are certain aspects of growth that we can do alone and need to do alone, but there are other dimensions of growth that can only happen when we are interdependent with others, and we'll see that more as we continue. All right, well, let's jump in then and look at seven evidences of spiritual maturity. The first one is that we're involved in a ministry of serving others. Back to verse 12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. That word ministry means serving, for the work of serving. And then it goes on in verse 16 to say, every part does its share. So as we mature, one of the evidences of maturing is we are serving. We are using the gifts God has given us to serve each other. We are doing our part. God has each one of us assigned a part in his body, in the community of believers we are a part of. So if you and I are mature, then it means that we are serving. If we are not serving in some way, it means we're maybe not as mature as we thought, because that's what mature people do. Number two, we're walking in unity with others. Goes on to say, verse 13 and 16, till we all come to the unity of the faith, from whom the whole body joined and knit together. One of the things I find interesting about this passage is, as it's talking about spiritual maturity, it doesn't say a whole lot about how much you know. Sometimes we think maturity is, I can quote a whole bunch of verses in the Bible, I know all kinds of theology, and that's important, there's a place for that. But notice that maturity has to do with, we know how to get along with people. So one of the biggest signs of spiritual maturity is that we connect with others, and we know how to get along with others. You know, some people, they like just kind of hang out by themselves. They don't really connect with others. Or some people, they're always in some kind of a conflict with others. But as we grow, that should change. As we grow, we should learn how to love others and how to get along with people, and how to get along especially with people different than we are, people who may believe different, have different personalities, whatever it might be. Number three, we're growing in our knowledge of God and becoming more like Jesus. Ephesians 4:13, till we all come to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect, mature, whole man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The word knowledge here is not primarily referring to knowing facts. The word knowledge there is more of an experiential knowledge that comes out of relationship. So it's talking about, as we mature, we get to know God, not just about him, although we will learn things about him, but we get to know him on a personal level, on a relational level. And the fruit of that is, the more you and I get to know God, the more the end result is we become more like Jesus. So spiritual maturity is the process by which we keep getting more and more like Jesus because of our relationship with God. Number five, we're speaking the truth in love. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love. Did I get too far here? No, maybe there's a verse missing. Anyway, speaking the truth in love. Maturity is when we have a healthy balance between truth and love. Immaturity is when one or the other dominates the other. Let me give you an example. Some people, they're high on truth and low on love. In other words, they want to tell people what they're doing wrong. They want to tell people what God says. And sometimes it comes across dogmatic, black and white, judgmental, but it's the truth. But sometimes there's a lack of compassion, a lack of being sensitive to where people are at. And so it's a sign of immaturity. Some people are immature the opposite. They want to love everybody, accept everybody. Doesn't matter how you live. It's all good. It's all okay. We don't want to, you know, offend anybody. And so there's heavy on love, but maybe some compromise in the area of truth. Well, as we mature, we have a healthy balance of the two, and we know what's needed in any given situation. Maybe one situation needs a little more truth. Maybe another situation needs a little more love. We have a sensitivity to what amounts are needed. And then number six, we're connected relationally and functionally to a local community of believers. Verse 16, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. And we've kind of talked about this already. But as we grow in maturity, One of the evidences of that is we have relationships in our community of believers. We get to know people. We build community. And we, as we already talked about, we not only have relational connections, but we serve. We use our gifts to serve our church family and our community. And then bringing it all together, number seven, if we're all personally growing, and if we're connected to the community relationally and functionally, a community of others who are growing, then the end result is the church grows. It says, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So we've looked at just some evidences of spiritual growth. I'm sure as we've gone through there, some of you are looking, saying, well, okay, I'm good there. Oh, that one needs a little bit of work. So you've probably made a little bit of an assessment. Now the question is, what do we do about it? Okay, how do we get there? If that's what spiritual maturity looks like, what do we do to grow in those areas? And what we're going to do in the time we have left is I'm going to touch on six elements of spiritual growth. Now, these are going to overlap, okay? So we're going to be hitting some of them a couple times and just from a few different perspectives. But I'm going to start here. We grow when we feed on God's word. We grow when we feed on God's word. And I just didn't tell you something you didn't know. I mean, all of you know that. In fact, if I had said, what do you need to do to grow spiritually? First or second answer, probably for most of you, would have been the word. And prayer would have been probably, you know, either one or two. Those probably would have come on your top two. So I'm not telling you something you don't know. But let me ask you this. What are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? Let me just ask you, in the past week, how much did you get into the Word of God? What good does it do if you and I know we need the Word to grow, but we don't do anything about it? There's a couple verses I'll share. 1 Peter 2:2 says, where am I? Here we go. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. So the word is spiritual nutrition. It is nutrition to our soul and spirit, just as physical food is nourishment to our body. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In other words, Jesus is saying we need more than food to live. To truly live means more than to live physically. It's to live spiritually. And to live spiritually, we need the bread of God's word nourishing our spirit and soul. Now, I want to ask you a question. If physically all you did is eat one big meal a week, how healthy do you think you'd be? Now, probably most of us have enough extra storage. We could live a while on one meal a week, but sooner or later, I don't know if we could continue to live, sooner or later it would not be enough to sustain optimum health, and maybe we couldn't even sustain life at that rate, I'm not sure. But we all know sooner or later, one big meal a week would just not be enough. And yet, that's what some people do spiritually. One big meal a week, and then I'm good for the week. Many people, they come to a Sunday morning service. They whatever the pastor's giving as a spiritual meal, they take it in. And for a lot of people, that's about it until next Sunday. And then if you miss a Sunday, wow, then it's 2 weeks without a meal. I would love to be able to say that if you get one sermon, it'll feed you for quite a while, you're good. But that's simply not true. Reality is, if the only spiritual feeding you get is my preaching, you're in trouble. Do you realize preaching should not be our main feeding anyway? It should be supplemental feeding. The main feeding should be you and the Bible and God. That should be your main feeding. The sermon is just like a treat, an extra meal, a supplemental meal. And by the way, when I say you, the God in the Bible, that's exactly what I mean. I don't mean just listen to a bunch of podcasts, just watch your favorite TV preachers, just read internet articles or, read whatever. Those things are supplemental, but that's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about here is you, God, and the Bible, and that's it. Again, everything else is supplemental. And so my challenge to you when we get to 40 days of prayer is that you make a commitment daily, I'm going to feed on God's word. And we're going to give you something. If you're here Wednesday nights, it's going to be really cool. This is what it looks like, 40 days of prayer. It's got really cool colors and pictures in it. And the teaching sessions, the notes for that will be in here. But also there's 40 days of readings. And it's just a couple verses or so. My challenge is for many of you, you'll want more than that. Maybe you'll read the whole chapter instead of just those couple verses. Or maybe you already have a Bible reading program of some kind. That's fine. Just keep it going. But some of you are like, wow, I just have not been consistent. Well, my challenge is going to be, we'll give you 40 days of things to read and an opportunity for you to meditate on that, write what God's saying to you. So those of you who come Wednesday nights, you're going to get one of those. All right, well, let's move on. Secondly, we grow when we learn in different ways. Job 33:14 says, God speaks in different ways, and we don't always recognize his voice. God speaks in different ways. Educators have figured out that there's different learning styles. And some people learn with a certain learning style better than they do another learning style. Let me just review four learning styles. One is auditory, and that's learning by listening. That's sort of what's happening now. I'm talking, you're listening. I hope you're getting something out of it. This is how a lot of schools primarily teach. Teachers lecture, students listen. And so there's auditory learning. Secondly, there's visual, which is learning by seeing. That's part of why we put notes up on the screen and scriptures so that not only can you hear, but you can also connect visually. By the way, during 40 days of prayer, obviously Sunday mornings, we're going to be focusing on bringing messages about prayer. My challenge to you is come to every one of those Sundays. And Wednesdays, there'll be a half-hour video. So again, there'll be both the visual as well as the auditory. My encouragement to you is come every one of those Wednesdays. Some of you are thinking, I could not come every Wednesday. I can't come every Sunday. I might be able to come a couple of them. Why can't you come to all of them? Let me ask you this. What if I paid you $1,000 for every time you show up during 40 days of prayer? Suddenly, your calendar would free up, wouldn't it? By the way, I didn't say I'm going to do that. My point is, usually we can make happen what we decide is important enough. And if $1,000 isn't enough, $10,000 would bring you, wouldn't it? Okay, but anyway, there's the visual. And as you read God's word, that's a visual learning. You are seeing, you know, the scriptures. So there's auditory, there's visual. And there's verbal. Verbal learning is learning by talking. Some people, when they're interacting with others, they learn. They learn best that way. On Wednesday nights, we're going to be around round tables, and there will be a little bit of discussion time. There'll be a chance to learn by interacting. Now, there are some people who say, I don't like to read, I don't like to listen, and I don't like to talk. They're called men. not all men. But for those who, that's kind of where you're at, there's the kinesthetic, and that's learning by doing. And that's where a lot of people are at. Just let me get my hands, you know, dirty, and I'll figure it out. So during 40 days of prayer, we're going to, you know, we're not just going to talk about prayer. We're actually going to do it. We're going to learn by doing. And we're going to encourage you, have a personal prayer time, and we'll help you with that. We're going to have more prayer in the Sunday services during that time. We're going to encourage you, come at least a couple of times into the prayer room before the services. We're going to have some prayer around the round tables on Wednesday nights. And we're going to have some extra prayer times, and we'll get this all in writing and get it to you so you'll know. But there's going to be a few Tuesday early morning times to pray at Caribou, so you'll be able to get some coffee and pray. And then there's going to be a few over the lunch hour times on Tuesdays. And then there's going to be some Friday evening opportunities. So we're going to give you a lot of different opportunities for you to actually just, pray and to engage in doing. And the point that I want to make with all of these different learning styles is simply this. We grow the most typically when we engage in all of the different ways of learning. Now, here's the reality. If we go over this list, you could tell me which one of these is your favorite, and you could tell me which one of those is your least favorite. But let me give you something to think about. It could be that the way God's going to bring the most growth in your life is your least favorite. You know, when we do the thing we're always comfortable doing, sometimes that just maintains. Sometimes to really grow, we've got to shake it up and do something that's not comfortable at all. So it might be if you're sitting back thinking, well, during 40 days of prayer, I'm going to do this and this, but I'm not going to do that because I don't really like to do that. It may be that that is the very thing God wants to use to help you to grow. All right, well, let's move on. And number three is we grow when we develop spiritual disciplines or spiritual habits. And we've kind of already been talking about that. You've probably heard this quote, sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. So at some point here, we sow habits. We sow disciplines, and out of that flows growth in character and in destiny. One of the greatest contributors to spiritual growth is when we give ourselves to spiritual disciplines. In fact, if you think about it, your character is largely the sum total of your habits, both good and bad. So where's your character at? It really is a composite of our good and bad habits that all kind of go together and outflows who we are. It's been said, you determine your habits, and your habits determine you. How do you develop good habits? How do you develop spiritual disciplines? You develop good habits by intentional repetition. Usually we don't develop a good habit by accident. Usually we develop a good habit by practicing something and by being very intentional. Maybe eventually it becomes where we don't even think about it, but generally there's a point where we have to decide to do it and work at it. And you've probably heard it takes 21 days to develop a habit. Some say it takes 40 days. I don't know why, but to develop a bad habit seems like it doesn't take hardly any time, does it? In Hebrews 5, verse 14, it says, but solid food is for adults or for the mature. That is, those who, here it is, through constant practice have their spiritual faculties carefully trained to distinguish good from evil. Notice those words, through constant practice. We have our spiritual faculties trained. And so there is a discipline that happens if we're going to grow. There's certain things we just do. Bad habits on the other, well, let me read one other verse, John 13, 17. Jesus said, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Notice he didn't say, if you know these things, you're blessed. He says, if you know these things, blessed are you if you what? Do them. So it's not what we know, it's what we know that we do that brings blessing. Now, bad habits, on the other hand, they tend to come by default. They just tend to happen when we are not intentional. I want to look at a passage here, 1 Corinthians 9, beginning with verse 24. It says, "Don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize, so run to win." In a race, only one person can win first place. Now, we are not in a race against one another, but we are in a spiritual journey that the Bible calls a race. And I want you to think about that those last four words, so run to win. Not everybody runs to win. Some run just to start the race. Some run just to participate. Some run to finish. But notice it says run to win. Now, what does win mean from God's perspective? For God to say, you won, what does that mean? How does God define a win for you? And are you running to win? Not just running to run, but running to win. Well, let me ask this question. What would it take to run to win? It would probably take training to win, right? I mean, if you didn't train at all, and then you show up on the starting line like, I'm going to run to win. No, you're not. No matter how motivated you are, if you didn't train to win, you can't run to win. So if we're really going to run this thing to win, we're going to have to do some training. And that's what it goes on to say. It says all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So you and I, we're out to win an eternal prize. And then it goes on to say, Paul says, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. So in other words, you and I are to be in spiritual training so that we can run this race to win. It's been said that successful people are often successful not because they are more talented than others, not because they're more talented than unsuccessful or less successful people, but because they're willing to do what less successful or unsuccessful people aren't willing to do. Now, we all know some successful people that really are gifted, talented, and it's like, wow. But when you read stories of successful people, often they don't have any gifts you don't have. Often they just have a perseverance. They have a discipline, and they just kind of dug in and just did normal stuff that anybody can do, but many people aren't willing to do. And often that ends up being the difference. The main thing that I want to emphasize in terms of spiritual disciplines is that we do this. Daily time alone with God. We already talked about Bible. We're going to be talking a lot about prayer. And yeah, we're actually going to talk even about fasting. I know that's something we don't hear much about today. But Jesus said, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. I believe there's things in all of our lives that God wants to do that only will happen if we decide to pray and fast till it happens. And if we decide not to, it just won't happen. So we'll talk more about that. I was reading recently about the New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady. Those of you who are football fans, you know who he is. Many believe he's the best quarterback that's ever played the game. And one of the things that's amazing about Tom Brady is that he is 41 years old and he is still playing at an elite level. And that just doesn't happen much in football. Now, let me ask you something. Do you think Tom Brady's just lucky that he's still playing at an elite level at 41? If you read about him, he has some very stringent disciplines in his life. You realize that guy like goes to bed about 8:30 at night and gets up at like 5:30 in the morning. First thing he does when he gets up is he drinks 20 ounces of water with electrolytes, and he has all these combinations of foods he eats and won't eat, and he has all of these stringent kinds of workouts that he does. Let me ask you something. Do you think that any of that might have something to do with how he's still playing at an elite level at age 41. What if he didn't do any of that stuff? What if he just sort of went by talent? My guess is he still would have been a talented quarterback because he has those basic gifts. But my guess is he wouldn't be playing. He would have retired many years ago. But it's through his spiritual disciplines, not spiritual, his physical disciplines and mental disciplines that allow him to maximize his potential. Well, number five, we grow when we help others grow. And we've kind of talked about that already. God said it's not good for man to be alone. This is, of course, a different context there. I'm not going to read the verse, but Paul talked about how we're going to bless each other. Someone counted 56 one another commands in the Bible. And one of the things that's kind of obvious is you can't practice or obey the one another commands without being with one another. And so again, there's certain things like your own time with God that you can only do yourself that brings spiritual growth. But then there's other things that we do that we need each other. We need to help one another out. And there's a couple verses there I'm going to move past. And then number five, we grow when we expect to grow. Matthew 9:29, Jesus said, according to your faith, let it be to you. I find that verse so challenging because notice it does not say, according to God's power, let it be to you. According to God's love, let it be to you. According to God's mercy, let it be to you. Now, we know all of that's true, but God has all of that, and still a lot of people don't appropriate that. And so how much we appropriate is up to us and our faith. As our faith be, so be it unto you. Here's my challenge, and you're going to have a little time to process this, but during 40 days of prayer, I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to have you write it down. You don't have to turn it in, but I'm going to ask every one of you to believe God for one personal miracle. And I'm talking about a miracle that you will know whether or not it happened. Don't say, well, during 40 days, I just want God to bless me. Well, how much blessing will it take for you to know he blessed you? So I'm asking you, even now, start praying about it, start meditating on it. Get one thing. This is what I'm going to believe God for, and I will know whether or not it happens. I'm going to challenge you, put your faith out there. The second thing I'm going to ask you to put your faith out there is for a church-wide refreshing. A church-wide refreshing. In Acts 3:19, it says that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. That's what I want for Jubilee. I want during this 40 days, God's presence to move in at a whole new level that brings a refreshing. We need a refreshing from God as a church family. And I'm going to ask you, press in along with me, along with your brothers and sisters, and let's believe God for that. What will that look like? I don't know exactly what it will look like, but I know when it comes, we will know. And then lastly, we grow when we commit to grow. We don't grow just because we want to grow. We don't grow because we have good intentions to grow. We grow when we decide to grow. We grow when we plan to grow, and then we walk out those plans. Do you realize, and this is a very convicting statement to myself, do you realize that you and I are each as close to God as we have chosen to be? God isn't up there in heaven saying, you, I'm going to bring you and you're going to be really close to me. You can't get that close. No, God says it's up to you. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Notice whose part comes first. God says, you want to get near to me? I'm inviting you. You can get as close as you want, and each step you take toward me, I'll take towards you. That is incredible to me that God invites every one of us to that level. Jeremiah 29:13, he says, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Notice it's all, he puts it all on us. We will find him when we seek him and search for him with all your heart. And that's what 40 days is going to be about. We're challenging you, seek God and find him by searching for him with all of your heart. Wow, he puts it in our court what we're going to do. I want to ask you, when this 40 days is done, are you going to be much different than you are today? Well, reality is some of you are going to run with this. Some of you are like, I'm in. I'm going to, as much as I can, I'm going to press into this, and I'm going to see what God will do. And some of you, who knows what will happen during that 40-day period. Others of you, you're going to like, well, I'm going to go to this, but not that, and this, but not that, and I'm really pretty busy, and you'll be about the same. The thing is the 40 days is going to come and go either way. And here's my challenge to you. During those 40 days, being they're going to come and go anyway, what else could you do during those 40 days that would be more important? What else could you do during those 40 days that would bring about a greater impact on your life? Now, I know you got work and family and, you know, you have other things you'll need to do during that time. But my challenge is for you to just really decide in this season, I can handle a 40-day commitment. I'm gonna set aside some other things. I'm going to press in. And I'm going to see what God will do. And I long to see what God will do with us as a church family. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. I think for most of us, maybe not everybody, but for most of us, there's probably very little that would bring about greater change than nurturing prayer for 40 days. I mean, there's other things that we're doing and talking about, but probably for most of us, nurturing prayer probably would bring the greatest change in our life. Our flesh may not like it, but I challenge you to press in. So, 2 Corinthians 13:9, our greatest wish in prayer is that you will become mature Christians. How? We feed on God's word. We learn in different ways. We develop spiritual disciplines. We help each other. We expect to grow, and we commit to grow. I'm going to pray and bring the service to a close. I'm not giving you anything to sign. I'm not asking you to come forward in 2 weeks from today. Here's the challenges, so you'll have that opportunity. But for now, it's really let God deal with you and really begin making that commitment. I'm going to set aside some time, and I'm going to see what God is going to do. As I close in prayer, I'm going to ask the prayer teams that are serving today to come to the front, and you're welcome to go right after the prayer. But if you want prayer, there'll be a couple teams up here, and we'd be happy to pray with you, pray for you. Father, I thank you that you want us to grow and that every one of us can grow. I thank you, God, that it's not just something you decide for some and not for others, but rather you put the ball in our court, that if we want to draw near to you, we can, and you will draw near to us, that if we want to find you, we can by seeking you. I thank you, God, there's not one person here that you don't want to draw close to. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will birth within each one of us a desire to grow like never before, but not just a desire to grow, but a commitment to grow. Lord, that we'll do the things it takes to grow. And I pray, God, that as we shortly begin this season, that we will be amazed at what you do. Your word says you can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And I'm asking that for our church family. I'm asking for times of refreshing to come from your presence. I'm asking you to revive us as a church. And I'm praying, God, for personal miracles. God, that as people identify what miracle they're going to believe for and go after it, God, that they will see you come through. And that there will be testimony after testimony of personal miracles that have been experienced. And even as we begin thinking about that, what should I believe for? May you, your Holy Spirit show us what to go after with our faith. And Lord, as we go, I just speak a blessing on everybody here today. I pray a blessing on all the students who have begun school. May they have a good year, an effective year. May it be a year where they stand for you and live out their faith in a dynamic way in the school place. I pray for every workplace impacted by those here that they will carry the kingdom of God to their workplaces, to their neighborhoods. And Lord, I pray that your peace and joy will fill all of our homes in a special way. I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You're welcome to go. If you need to sign up for something, go to the kiosk back there. And if you want prayer, come on up, and we'll be happy to pray for you.